At the close of what is commonly referred to as the Old Testament are two verses that carry a very special significance for this age today. I refer to Malachi chapters 4 and verses 5 and 6. Now I'd like to turn there now. These two verses carry a somber warning for all parents, not just the fathers, although it is the fathers that are mentioned here in Malachi. When a man and a woman join themselves together as husband and wife, there is usually some sort of understanding that this union will be the nucleus of another generation of the family. It becomes necessary to consider the consequences of our actions very early on. Both parties need to realise the consequences of their actions, and they need to realise the tremendous importance of their responsibilities, not just to each other, but also to the children of the marriage. Too often we fail to realise the obligations that we have to our children. When we see the news reports of family breakup, tearaway children, mindless juvenile vandalism, teenage pregnancies, we become aware of the tremendous scale of the problem that exists out there in the world at large. But it is only with the passing of years that we become aware of the shortcomings of our own efforts in raising our own children. But it's not simply raising the next generation. It is the passing of love and concern from one generation to the next. And in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we read the following. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Eternal. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, or, as I believe the original Hebrew would imply, with utter destruction. Now that sounds pretty serious. So today, in the time I have available to me, I want to draw on my experiences as a father, so that those of you who have young children can avoid some of the pitfalls that I have strayed into. Because in showing the errors that I have made in bringing up my children, others may be able to avoid those particular shortcomings. To a Christian parent, the way that we raise our children is of paramount importance, as the verses of Malachi have shown. Now, a little bit of background about me may show why I became the sort of father that I have been and that I am now. Now, we go back, really, to the Second World War. And my parents and I lived in rural Staffordshire, that is, somewhat to the north of the Midlands in this country. Now, my memory of my parents during my childhood was one where my father worked late each evening and who I saw on Saturday afternoons and Sundays. Now, my mother was often out driving ambulances because most of the menfolk were away at the war. And so as a result, I saw a lot less of my parents than perhaps was ideal. Now, as the war drew to a close, my father's job returned to the City of London, and we lodged with my grandparents, and they had looked after my brother, who was 6 years older than I am, during the course of the war. And as I say, we moved back to lodge with our grandparents, who lived in Catford, that is, in the southeast of the County of London. Now, we stayed there for a few months, and after that we moved to rooms in Bellingham, a couple of miles further to the east, it's still just within the old boundaries of the County of London, I believe. And then we moved shortly after that back to the family home, the pre-war family home in East Kent. Now, my father still worked late, sometimes very late. So, as I say, I only saw him relatively infrequently. I saw a lot less of my parents than I would have liked. But during those years, perhaps I did see more of my parents than many other children, you know, because the war did deprive a lot of children of a close relationship with their parents. Now, my paternal grandfather died when I was about 8. And my mother's father I only saw twice in the 26 years of my early life before he died. So I think it goes without saying that we were not a particularly close family. At 18, I joined the Royal Navy, serving some 6 years before I actually purchased an early discharge. So it may come as no surprise to many of you that I initially regarded Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, as a definitive rule for bringing up children. But there is much more to bringing up children than instilling discipline in them. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child, but there's more to it than that. It helps, but it's not the end by any means. Now, teaching is very much a part of the parental responsibility. Now, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 to 7. Now, some may think I'm going to be taking a bit of a liberty with these verses, but here we are told to teach our children. Here specifically appears to relate to conduct. However, in their widest context, the laws and commandments given by God cover every aspect of our daily lives. We teach our children that God does exist. In addition, we teach them to honour God, to honour parents, and to respect our neighbours. And all of these aspects are covered by the commandments. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7 read as follows. Hear, O Israel, the Eternal our God is one eternal, and you shall love the Eternal your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, of all those commandments that are specifically referred to, or covered above, there is one which refers to theft. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, the Apostle Paul tells us that he who stole should steal no more, but that he should labour and work with his hands. So it becomes apparent that as parents, we should teach our children to use their hands in a constructive manner. Now, in past centuries, when the productive effort of most economies was based on family-orientated cottage industry, fathers taught their children, mothers taught their daughters, so the fathers taught their children, their sons basically how to earn a living, mothers taught their daughters basically how to make a home for the time that would come later in their lives. Now, today, many during their working life are employed away from home, sometimes many miles away from home. So the interaction between parents and children takes on an even greater degree of importance. We need to spend quality time with our children, teaching them, joining in with them, sharing with their successes, and, you know, really interacting with them full time. Now, when I was a lad, my father bought me a train set. I played with it for hours, arranging the track, running the trains, and using my imagination. Then, when my son was old enough, he and I joined in together playing with the train set. My father didn't do that with me, but I did it with my son. And then, a little later on, my son took over the train set completely. He built a shelf all the way around his bedroom, laid the track on the shelf, and a train running all the way around his bedroom at night, you know, on his own. So, you know, he enjoyed it. But I've got the train set back now. So now I can play with the train set with my grandchildren when they come to see me. And, you know, if we have a hobby or a pastime, we should share it with our children because it will draw us closer together. It does help in bringing a family closer together all the time. Now, I'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 now. Now, when Dad comes home from work tired, or has had a bad day with a customer or a client, you know, one of these, you hear the phrase on television, you know, the customer from hell, you know, Dad comes in after having a day like that, and the little son is waiting for Daddy to tell him a story, it's too easy to say, no, I can't do it now, I don't feel like it. But, you know, Dad has to grab a glass of water, put on a smile, even if he feels like thunder, and then send his loving child to bed happy. It will help draw the family together. And here in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, is the reason. I've even got my mark in the wrong place. And it is here somewhere. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. As adults, we all know the elation that comes with success, with accomplishment, and when something that we hope for has come to pass. Too often we forget that our children have the same feelings, the same desires, the same hopes. Now, rearing our child should involve us with our children in just about every aspect of their lives. It is teaching them, encouraging them, building them up. It is, as Paul says in Romans 14, verse 9, to edify one another. Children are a priceless blessing, and we must treat them as such. When we are young and full of energy, in good health and on top of the world, and also when the whole world seems to be crushing us down and pushing us under for the last time. In closing, I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 127. Now, this is the way that King David describes the wonderful blessing that we have been given. We have a wonderful opportunity to share our happiness and joy with a coming generation. There is so much to child rearing. I wish I had known it all when I was much younger. I could have made life more enjoyable for my children, and I could have enjoyed my children much more and enjoyed the time with my children. So Psalm 127, beginning with verse 3. Lo, children are the heritage of the Eternal, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And passing down now into Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that fears the Eternal, that walks in his way. For you shall eat the labour of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of the house, and your children like olive plants round about your table. That is as family life should be. Let's all try to make it so.